American, born in Corpus Christi, Texas, but was truly a star in the Tejano music scene. It was just crossing over with this hit, released after her death. Selena's sister Suzette spoke for the family at the star ceremony.
And I think Selena said it best, the impossible is possible.
Selena is the all-time top-selling female Latino artist. Her star is in front of Capitol Records near Hollywood and Vine. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
Daylight saving time ends at 2 a.m. Sunday. We fall back an hour. Arizona and Hawaii are the only states that don't make the annual change. And Maine and Massachusetts are considering permanently ending daylight saving time and joining a new time zone. Daylight saving time returns March 12th. I'm Christopher Cruz.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Belinda Collins, live on the scene of a recent kitchen fire. Here to describe the event, a refrigerator.
I was just chilling, keeping some lettuce and dairy products cold, when the toaster starts shooting sparks. Next thing I know, he lit a cabinet on fire.
Did you try and stop the flames?
I'm a refrigerator, not a fireman.
Your refrigerator can't help with a kitchen fire, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Go to GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
ABC News is sponsored by Gary Zell's Auto Glass, 513 3rd Street Southeast in Huron, specializing in mobile glass replacement, windshield and door glass replacement, free pickup and delivery. Gary Zell's Auto Glass, 352-0836.
Cloudy skies today with highs around 51. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows around 28. High of 35 tomorrow. Low 30s Monday and Tuesday with a chance for snow Monday. A dusting of snow tonight with another inch Monday. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Right now, 34.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Last night, semifinal round of the state high school football playoffs. The championship games are set for next week now, beginning Thursday at the Dakota Dome in Vermilion. We had a pair of games on the air last night. In 9AA, Miller Highmore Herald traveled to a Gregory. The two teams had met at the end of the regular season with Gregory winning. Game was delayed by about 10 minutes due to an issue with the lights at the field, but once they came on, Gregory rolled. Gregory scored 30 points in the second quarter. They go on to a 60-14 win over Miller Highmore Herald. Gregory, the defending champs, back to the dome. Meanwhile, in Class 11B, Sioux Falls Christian defeated Woonsocket Washington Springs Sanborn Central 21-7. Blackhawks 5 turnovers in the game, including 3 fumbles that were all turned into the 3 touchdowns for Sioux Falls Christian. So Sioux Falls Christian will make their first ever trip to the Dome next week. Here's all the scores in 11AAA, a pair of 1-point games at Howard Wood Field. The opening game saw Sioux Falls Washington score in the final minute and edge Sioux Falls O'Gorman 42-41. The second game went double overtime. The difference, a missed extra point. Roosevelt defeated Brandon Valley 41-40. In 11AA, Harrisburg ousted defending champion Mitchell 20-7 and Pierre rolled to a 35-14 win over Yankton. 11A, Dakota Valley tops St. Thomas More 34-11, Madison 40, Milbank 7. 11B, the other side of the bracket, Bridgewater Emory Ethan handed Sioux Valley their first loss of the season, 35-7. 9AA, Irene Wakanda defeated Kimball White Lake 41-26. In 9A, back and forth, Britton Hecla edged Warner 24-20. And Corsica Stickney pulled away late and defeated Howard 36-22. And in 9B, Coleman Egan defeated Castlewood 54-13, and Sully Buttes topped Colombe 36-20. So that's your football scores from last night. Here is the championship lineup for next week. Of the seven championship games, two feature a battle of unbeaten teams, including the first game of the championships in 9B. Sully Buttes and Coleman Egan will play for the championship. Both teams are 11-0. Second game on a Thursday will be 9AA. Gregory 11-0 against 10-1. Irene Wakanda. Then Thursday night in 9A, Corsica Stickney 11-0 plays Britton Hecla 10-1. Two games then on Friday in the afternoon, 11B, Bridgewater Emery Ethan 9-2 plays Sioux Falls Christian 10-1. Then 11AA on Friday night, Pier 8-3 plays Harrisburg 7-4. On Saturday in the afternoon, the other battle of unbeaten teams has Madison and Dakota Valley playing, both teams 11-0. Then the 11AAA championship next Saturday night, undefeated Sioux Falls Washington 11-0 and Sioux Falls Roosevelt 10-1. Schedule for today, only thing I have locally is volleyball. Huron Tigers will close out the regular season on the road. They travel down to Mitchell tonight. We'll shoot for the 7 o'clock start, 6:40 pre-match on 1340, KIJV and Tiger 95. The Sweet 16 is set for both Class A and Class B next Tuesday in high school volleyball. Two of those Sweet 16 games will be played at the Huron Arena. In a Class B, at 5:30 at the arena next Tuesday, second-seeded Chester will play number 15 seed Timberlake. Then there will be a Class A matchup. Top seed Sioux Falls Christian will play number 16 seed Mobridge. Here's the complete lineup. In Class B, Northwestern, the top seed will play number 16, Al Setzer Hudson in Watertown. Two seed Chester plays number 15, Timberlake at the arena. Number 3 seed Warner plays number 14, Bridgewater Emery in Madison. Four seed Phillip plays number 13, Faith in Spearfish. Number 5 seed Hanson plays number 12, Fulton at the Mitchell Corn Palace. Six seed Kadoka plays number 11, Dubrook in Chamberlain. Number 7 seed Harriet Selby plays number 10 Kimball White Lake in Pier. And 8 seed Burke South Central will play number 9 seed Arlington at the Corn Palace. Class A Sweet 16 matchup, Sioux Falls Christian seeded 1 plays number 16 Mobridge here in Huron. 2 seed Dakota Valley plays number 15 Elk Point Jefferson in Beersford. Number 3 seed Belle Fouche plays number 14 Winner that match in Wall. Number 4 seed Madison plays number 13 Del Rapids at Brandon Valley High School. Miller with the number 5 seed plays number 12 Rapid City Christian. That'll be in Pier. 6 seed Sioux Valley plays number 11 Pine Ridge in Chamberlain. 7 seed Parker will play number 10 Redfield Doland in Madison. And 8 seed McCook Central Montrose will play number 9 seed Groton in Watertown. Again, all those Class A, Class B, Sweet 16 matchups will be next Tuesday. Couple of notes here concerning Huron Tigers postseason potlucks coming up. The postseason potluck for Huron Tiger football will be Tuesday, November 14th at the High School Commons, beginning at 6 o'clock. Then the following Monday, November 20th, will be the postseason potluck for Huron Tiger volleyball. Again, begins at 6 o'clock. They are open to the public. Everyone is welcome to attend. College football today, University of South Dakota hits the road. They'll be at Northern Iowa. And South Dakota State and North Dakota State will play in Brookings in the annual Dakota Marker game. To go along with that game in Brookings, the respective governors of each state, South Dakota's Dennis Dugard, North Dakota's Doug Burgum, have made a friendly wager on the game. It has to do with the birthday for North and South Dakota that was held earlier this week. Governor Dugard gives the details.
The governor of the losing state will pay to the university that wins $128 to their foundation. I'm counting on Governor Doug Burgum to pay that $128 to SDSU Foundation when the Jacks win and keep that Dakota marker here in South Dakota where it belongs.
in the number 128. It was the 128th birthday of both states back on November 2nd. That's the Saturday Morning Scoreboard. I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture and the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
Remember the stormy weather this past summer? Do you remember how well your insurance coverage responded? Don't learn the lesson of being properly insured the hard way. A free insurance review with Pearson Anderson Insurance has options to specifically cover you at a price you can live with. Let Pearson Anderson review your insurance program to make sure you're ready for the future. Pearson Anderson Insurance, insuring a brighter tomorrow. Give them a call today.
You've got Dakota Sports.
And we're back here to Dakota Sports Saturday. First up, we talk here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Shelley Buddenhagen, wrapping up the regular season tonight in Mitchell. You're on a Tuesday win over Brookings. And Shelley, you had a week off there, did a few tweaks to rotations and such. And I think as much as anything, just a little rest for the girls perhaps. And I think it paid dividends. There's we pretty much went right at a taller Brookings team and cruised in three.
Well, you know, Brookings is playing really good volleyball. And in fact, they did on Thursday night. They played some really good volleyball. So they're a good volleyball team. I think, you know, volleyball is such a... It's Tuesday, Thursday. We're on such a merry-go-round half the time that week was really good for both mental and physical refreshing. We just were able to take a little bit of break, catch our breath, enjoy things a little bit, and, you know, the dividends did pay off.
You know, and, you know, one change, and it was a big one, was getting Melissa Berg back in the lineup. She'd missed, I believe, 6 weeks, if I remember right, or five weeks.
6 weeks, yeah.
With a broken foot. She came back in, and actually, you know, that just seemed to make things click. I think he tweaked a couple of the rotations as well, and just kind of looked like a good alignment out there.
Well, yeah, you know, unfortunately, Melissa did get hurt 6 weeks ago when she was in the lineup, and it was a devastating injury to the team, but at the same time, she was able to sit out, and I think she paid, you know, attention and was learning. And then also we got to develop some younger kids as well, or some inexperienced players. So, you know, there's always a silver lining in a lot of things, and that was one, but, you know, those 6 weeks were a long 6 weeks waiting for kids to, you know, feel comfortable, and then for Melissa to get back. And she does bring a lot of energy to the court, and that's one thing that we felt we were missing against Watertown. Our level of energy and enthusiasm was pretty much inexcusable, and we've got to play volleyball with more passion. And Melissa brought that excitement, but yet then I think also the kids knew that the passion was a big key for us, and that's going to be a big key for us coming down the stretch here now.
And coming down the stretch, we wrap it up tonight in Mitchell. I'm assuming this is the last regular season volleyball game in the state of South Dakota as you go down to Mitchell tonight. Mitchell as the number two seed currently, and they might be coming off stinging a little bit after they fell to Aberdeen on Tuesday.
Well, here's a fun fact. Maybe it's not a fact. Maybe you have to look on this because you're the radio guy. But are we the only athletic event or high school event in the state today?
I'm thinking so.
I think we're the only one.
Yeah, because really all you got left is volleyball and football anyway. Yeah. All the other sports have finished.
Yeah, I think we might be the only activity in the state right now mm-hmm. tonight. So that's kind of cool. I think Kurt Nettiga was pointing that one out here. But yeah, Mitchell, number two in the state. They've got two very good outside hitters, and they add a good mix of a middle hitter and two other outside hitters that do just a nice job. And of course, they've got a real good setter too. But Aberdeen really took it at him, and that's up in Aberdeen. And we know that Aberdeen is a very hard place to play.
We saw from point A to point B, September to October, what a different team Aberdeen is now.
Yeah, you know, great job of you know, developing that team and getting the inexperienced all experienced. But, yeah, so hopefully we're going to catch a Mitchell team with a little bit of deer in the headlights look. And we're, you know, we feel like we're getting better. And I know that's a tough statement to say when you've got 2 weeks left in the season, but we do feel like we're getting better and better and getting more and more, I think, comfortable with what we're doing out there. And, you know, our inexperience is turning into experience. And so that's a good thing too.
And I talk about going to Mitchell. That's always one of the fun matches of the season, just because you go to that gym. It's going to be warm. It's going to be loud. Communication's going to be difficult at times because of the volume that it is cranked up there. I think it's just the acoustics and everything else.
Well, it's a tight, I mean, take the high school gym, which is a tiny thing, and now make it a little smaller. I mean, that's just how it feels. It feels claustrophobic in there. It is loud. The smallest AA gym for sure. I think the Sioux Falls Lincoln volleyball gym is small too. But, it's very, very loud. You can't hear yourselves. And we can't really emulate that in practice. We're going to before we leave today, where we've got some piped in music. But, it's the student body's right on you right there. The crowd's right on you. And so it's going to be a good atmosphere. And in girls athletics, we don't get to experience that a whole lot. So this will be a fun atmosphere, and we're going to embrace that and not really let it bother us. But, you know, Mitchell's good on their home court, and they are for a reason.
You know, and also you mentioned the crowd right on top of that. Means our student section as well. We, you know, that's our closest road trip that we have for any sport that we go into, and our student body will be present, loud and strong as well.
Well, I hope so. I hope they're going to be there. We need our seventh man, and I hope they're going to be rowdy and a good rowdy. Mitchell's always a little bit rowdy, and then of course they've got the towel snappers that are over there, and so we've got to be able to match that. And in fact, I'd like to outfan that. If our fans could be outfanning them, that would be awesome. But, fans right on top of you. Yesterday in practice, we took some of our boxes and just tried to close us in and show us that things are going to be a little bit smaller. And one of our players asked if they could move the box so they could get a wider approach. And I'm like, no, you can't, because the crowd is right there. You don't have any room for your feet. And we had to shorten up, you know, our serving areas a little bit. And, because if you remember, we're serving right from underneath that basket, those baskets that don't move. And so hopefully one of us don't clip that on a serve or anything. But, yeah, so it's going to be a smaller court, something that we're not used to. It's the ceiling isn't as high as the arena, obviously. So just a little bit different atmosphere. But, you know, we're going to go in there like we've got nothing to lose, because we really don't. You know, if we do play Sioux Falls Lincoln in the playoffs, here's the deal, is that we had three losses that didn't sit real well in our tummies. Number one was Sioux Falls Lincoln in our tournament. We felt like that one got away. We lost the third set there by two. And then we didn't feel good about the Yankton loss or the Brookings loss. Well, so far we've been able to, you know, now get Yankton on our home court. And we got Brookings in our home court. And so if we get to play Sioux Falls Lincoln, we're okay with that. And we think we could have a little redemption on that final one that we don't feel so good about.
And as you mentioned, Sioux Falls Lincoln, as of now, that would be the first round matchup in the Sweet 16 here on Sitting with the 7 seed, Lincoln at number 10. A win tonight, obviously, would change things. That's the other thing. I'd imagine there's a few teams in AA kind of waiting on the result of Huron and Mitchell, because a win or loss by either team might change the seeding for teams up and down the lineup there a little bit, at least common opponents.
Yeah, you know, I guess, honestly, Jeff,
We don't know.
I haven't sat down to do the math, because it'd be a long, I mean, that's 23 different PowerPoint things that we'd have to go after.
About 23 years since you've been a math teacher.
Yeah, well, no, not that long. But there's these things called really nice calculators, Jeff, to help you out with that. But, I'm not going to worry about that. I think we're just going to control what we can control, and no matter who we play, we're going to play. So we think, you know, and I don't know how to say this without sounding cocky or anything, but it is a truth that we've got this volleyball team that we think anytime that steps in the court, we have a chance to beat anybody. We just play that kind of style. We've proven that we can play with Harrisburg. We've proven we can play with Mitchell. We've proven we can play with Aberdeen. Rapid City Stevens, we played right with them. In fact, when you look back at those matches, we go, oh, we missed that opportunity. So If we can get everybody firing in all cylinders and they play with emotion and enthusiasm and passion, this volleyball team has a chance. I mean, we've got Jada Schillingstead, one of the best setters in the state. We've got Holly Nias, one of the best hitters in the state. And we've got, you know, Haven Hines, one of the best liberos in the state. And then you add our mix in there with Kayla Shimke, who's been playing some really good volleyball. And, Isabel Ford and Alexis Urena and Tenley Budenhagen and McKenna Moore, who's getting better and better, who just know their jobs and play. And you know, last night, Melissa wanted to hit as hard, I think, as McKenna and Kayla and Holly. And we're like, Melissa, that's not your job right now. Your job is just to get the ball over the net. So, we think we've got a chance if we can play well, and we're not worried about who we get to play in the playoffs.
And a final tune-up, too, because then it's a one-game playoff. You know, it's kind of a new world next week. We know how it's supposed to work, but until you've actually been through one, I think all 16 coaches are going to go in a little bit trepidation. Exactly how is this going to work?
Well, you know, you can't trip.
Yeah.
You know, last year, you know, with Double Air, the previous years, you've been able to trip a little bit. It's still scary when you trip, but, you know, you have that, whoopsie, okay, let's gather ourselves a little bit. Like Harrisburg lost in the first round last year to Sioux Falls Lincoln. So, they go on to win the state championship. Well, now we don't have that opportunity. But if you talk to the B's and the A's, they've never had that opportunity, really. So there's no whining or anything like that. We're just going to go with it. And I guess if you go to Minnesota, if you lose once, you're done. So it is brand new, and I guess we just, have I been a little bit of leery? Well, you do, because you really want to host, especially here on. We'd like to really host. And so I've had to stop watching those things. I was driving myself nuts a little bit watching all that. And so you've been keeping me informed of where we stand and everything. But
from other people, because I can't figure it out either. So.
But just one and done. And I guess if you can't win that first one, maybe you're not hot enough to be going to the state tournament anyway at that point.
And you mentioned A and B. I do want to get a quick note on that, too. Huron Arena hosting a doubleheader in the Sweet 16 on Tuesday as number 3 Chester plays number 14 Timberlake Class B, followed by top seed Class A Sioux Falls Christian against Mobridge. So we get a little volleyball showcase from other parts of the state coming in on Tuesday.
Yeah, so if you're looking for some entertainment, that'd be great for you to come down to the Huron Arena. Of course, then we don't get to practice in the Huron Arena.
Oh, that's down.
Yeah, or we don't get to practice on Wednesday in the Huron Arena either, but we kind of consider the middle school as our home court, too. So,
Sioux Falls Christians played a lot of AA schools.
Yeah, we're going to be very interested in watching them play and hopefully, get to see a good match of some sort. So, that's kind of cool that we get to host this stuff, isn't it? I mean, really. So, yeah, a lot of good things happening. I think the Sweet 16, this thing will all work itself out. There's some scheduling or some PowerPoint tweaks that I'm not quite sure about yet. Hopefully people don't take this the wrong way, but I have a hard time when Spearfish is collecting all these points. Like, okay, for instance, we go toe-to-toe with Harrisburg and we lose in 4. But we lose, that first time we played them, we lost by 2, we lost by 3, we lost by 2.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Spearfish beating the lead Deadwood, who's under 500, and they get more points than we do for going toe-to-toe with a AA
mm-hmm.
ranked number one. And I have a hard time with that. I just really do. And I don't think I'm the only one. I know I'm not.
Oh,
I
know you're not the only one.
And so I think there's some
had a long conversation with Coach Swiden about that out in Pierre.
Well, and we're coming from the same district. We're the smaller, the AA. I mean, really, if you look at things and you cut this into AAA and AA, for us AA volleyball schools, this is a tough thing. This is tough. How many AA schools right now are up in the top 8?
Harrisburg and Mitchell.
Yeah, I know, but you can't really count Harrisburg. That's what bothers me, too, is they are AAA. Come on, they're suburban.
Mm-hmm.
They're attached to Sioux Falls. If you go down there, you take a step and you're in Sioux Falls. I mean, really. They've got all those accommodations and things that our kids don't get. Okay, so let's take Harrisburg out of that equation. Now who's in the top 7? Mitchell?
That it?
And Huron.
Watertown. Oh, that's right. Watertown's AAA.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, let's put that into perspective
once.
Okay. Think about that for a second. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A lot of different things that I think have to be looked at. And, you know. But there's that enrollment difference no matter where you go. But I'm pretty proud of the fact that we being a double-A school, Mitchell being a double-A school, compared to a triple-A, if you really want to talk about those numbers,
mm-hmm.
we're there. We're right there. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, that's very good. And like I said, it's going to feel like a triple-A atmosphere tonight again.
I hope so.
Yeah, so a lot of people there, and we'll close out the regular season here on Mitchell. Tiger 95 tonight, 7 o'clock. Yeah. Let's be there.
Yeah, let's be there. I mean, yeah, watch out for deer, though.
Yeah, I saw one on my way home last night, so.
Yeah.
Shelley Budnagan, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Again, 7 o'clock start varsity in Mitchell here on Mitchell High School Volleyball to close out the regular season. Here on Tiger Football, kind of a recap coming up next year on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We're there when you need us. That is the motto that Farmers Union Insurance lives by. They know that when a loss occurs, you deserve their immediate attention. Huron area agent Pearson Anderson Insurance teams up with their loss representative to settle your loss and give you the attention that you deserve. Quality, commitment, and pride. Call Pearson Anderson Insurance in Huron and become a satisfied policyholder with insuring a brighter tomorrow.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture and the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Here as they closed out their season last week, falling to Harrisburg 27-8, and then Harrisburg beats Mitchell by a similar score last night. And, Coach, I know you always, if you get bounced out of the playoffs, one of the things you always look at, well, how's the team that beat us doing? Harrisburg moves on to the championship, and almost in some points sounds like a similar game to our game.
Yeah, it definitely was. It seemed like Harrisburg, we went down and watched it just for kind of something to do, and it seemed like it was a very similar game to what we had.
You know, and as you look into the off season here, I'm sure you've already talked to the kids that will be coming back, probably looking at who's going to be captains next year. Football is a year-round thing.
Yeah, it definitely is, especially getting into the weight room and getting into off season things. But at the same time, we have such a large number that play multiple sports, which is I push beyond belief, because it's important to who we are and what we do. And just a well-rounded athlete is what we're looking for. So, you know, if they're not in a winter sport, we need to get them in the weight room and vice versa.
Well, let's talk about your outgoing senior class. I forgot to count them up, but I think it's 13 or a 14. So a solid group there. You know, if you can get 15 to 20 in each class, that gives you a solid number to work from.
Yeah, definitely. And we keep kind of striving to get hopefully 20 kids per class is kind of what I'm shooting for. You know, I think if we get those numbers, it definitely changes things around.
Well, let's talk about the seniors, talk a little about each and what they brought to the team. We'll just take it numerically here on the roster. We'll start off with wide receiver, defensive back, Mason Small.
Yeah, Mason really came in pretty undersized when he was a freshman, sophomore. And then as he kind of matured throughout the years, he really took in a work ethic, got in the weight room with me a lot this last year, really kind of developed as an athlete. And then, football wise, you know, he definitely had some speed and some things that we like to see and we're going to miss, and just his drive and determination.
you know, wide receiver. He was a full-time there, played a little corner as well. I know he started the playoff game last year at corner, but also he was a guy that, because of injuries a couple of different times, he got put back there on kick returns.
Yeah, definitely, and he was willing to kind of do whatever was needed, and we're very fortunate, especially with this group of seniors. That's kind of their mantra is, wherever you need us, just put us.
Now we'll move to the next one on the list, Alex Hill, running back and linebacker. We knew he had the speed. We knew he could do some things there in the backfield. But the thing that impressed me the most here over the last 2 years was his defensive play. I thought I saw a big step for Alex from his junior year last year to this year.
Yeah, definitely. He kind of figured it out, and he took his reads, and he was able to just drive on those reads as fast as he could. And you know, he's a kid that's got definitely some athletic ability to him. He's got some drive to him. He's a great kid to have around.
You know, gave him that chance to throw the ball in the playoff game, too. You don't always remember that he's left-handed, and while he didn't complete the pass, did draw a pass interference.
Yeah, definitely, and he was more than happy to do that. He had a big smile on his face, and, you know, he's a great kid. He runs extremely hard. Works hard. You know, that's one of the things with this, especially this group of seniors, looking at Alex Hill, Mason Small, those, and the kids yet to come. You know, they've worked with me in the summers quite a bit.
Now, next one, Travis Kleinsaucer, a wide receiver and a linebacker. He missed, I believe, 3 games due to an injured ankle, and I thought his injury really changed a lot of things for us. His injury, which happened, I believe, late third, early fourth quarter in that second game of the season against Aberdeen, with Travis on the field, I think we have a better chance of winning that game. We lost by 1, but it took our field goal kicker away, and like I said, I just felt his injury really changed a lot of things.
Yeah, it definitely did, because, you know, he's a very good kicker.
41-yard field goal last year.
Yep, against Brookings. I mean, he was so consistent, and to have that ankle injury, you know, it took him out most of the season from our kicking duties, because it couldn't get quite right, and he couldn't hammer the ball like he wanted, and it was tough for him. But, you know, he's a determined kid. I mean, he kept giving it a go. He'd never complain. He's just a hard worker.
You know, I was a linebacker there, and of course, the wrestlers always make good linebackers.
Oh yeah, definitely. And he's a hard-nosed kid. He's kind of a quiet kid, but man, that kid works hard, and he's a fun kid to have around.
Next guy, and this guy kind of joined late, and I think he was just trying to check out American football. Albert Corrales, exchange student, and I think he just wanted a taste of what it was all about.
Yeah, he just wanted to be a part of the team and be around, and you know, we let him kind of kick a little bit here and there and do some things, and he had just never really been around it, so he was just looking for, it was kind of a late addition, looking for a way to kind of get in and see what it was like.
Now, next one, lettuce and tackles this year, 2-year starter both ways, Jackson Hook. I know last year we were thinking, well, who's going to replace Sam Kretschmar there leading that defense? And I thought, I already got the answer for you. It's going to be Jackson Hook.
Yeah, definitely. And he took full charge of it. He loved it. He's always got a smile on his face and a giggle going on. But you can't let that fool you, because he's going 100 miles an hour with everything he does.
You know, kind of almost an under, you know, he got listed at 200 pounds, which I'll question that, but started, he was kind of a smaller offensive tackle, but again, held down that spot for 2 years.
Yeah, definitely. He was that outside tackle, and he was also...
Of course, we moved him around on the line now that I think about it. He played some center. He was all over the line.
A little bit, yeah.
Last couple years.
And over the last couple years, and he was kind of our nub guard, the one on the short side when we were unbalanced. You know, we could trust him to be at that spot and do what he needed to do, and how we needed to do it, and he just kind of wherever we needed him also.
Next one on the list, Moises Dubon. Paid a lot of special teams, and looks like a kid that was just willing to do whatever was asked.
Yeah, he said that from the get-go. You know, he had his spots he wanted to play, but as long as he could get on the field and contribute and be a part of the team, that's what he wanted. And, you know, he worked hard at it. He did what he could do, and he put his best foot forward.
Next one, Wyatt Larson. He missed the first game because he was still in a boot camp, so even though he missed some practices, you knew he was going to be in shape once he got back. And I think the last half of the season, he started at center, and boy, he just held things down there.
Yeah, definitely that. And that was another one, you know, we just needed him to step up, and he was more than happy to, more than willing to. He's a good athlete. He's a good kid. Like you said, with being in boot camp all summer, you know, he was definitely in shape. He has a great mindset, and he works very hard.
Next one on the list, Matthias Abdinasser, as a big guy, you plugged him into the middle. I remember a couple of early games, he got a lot of time in the defensive line, made some plays.
Yeah, definitely, and he kind of came along. He started as a junior, if I remember correctly, for us, came into the program as a junior a little late, so he was a little behind, but he worked hard to get caught up and be where he needed to be, and he definitely contributed, whether it was, you know, in games where we needed him or in practice where we needed him. He was always willing to step up.
Next one, and I'm pretty sure I've been pronouncing his name wrong for his entire career, number 72, Caleb Sibineski. He started both ways. You moved him in different spots on the line, and I noticed also one thing, too. He was a guy that was willing to take charge there during warm-ups and just during general practices.
Yeah, definitely. He was willing to take on those responsibilities right away and get the team going and get kids going in the right spot and where they needed to be. Definitely a great contributor to the team with that, you know, and then just him being able to step in at different positions was huge for us.
You know, and not a lot of vocal guys on this team just overall, but Caleb was one that, like I said, really wanted to step up and do that.
Yeah, definitely, and he was, and we needed that.
Next one, Tanner Spohr, big offensive defensive lineman. Asked him to do a lot there on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, we had kind of asked him a lot of him, and being able to trust him with different aspects because of the fact that, you know, we had seen him in the weight room the last couple of years in the winter and different aspects. You know, we kind of knew where he was at physically and how he could react and be able to plug him in wherever we absolutely needed him.
And next on the list, Will Gross, tight end and a linebacker. I don't recall him playing a whole lot of defense last year. He had to step up and play on both sides of the ball this year.
Yeah, definitely. He got in a little bit last year on defense, but more offense, and that's kind of where we needed him this year, too, you know, being at the tight end spot, trying to lock that down. That's a critical block in a lot of what we do, and he was willing to do the best that he could at it.
Then Zach Simmonsma, tight end, listed tight end, actually a fullback, and then defensive end, had his season cut short early. I think it was in the third game that he blew his knee out last year and then made it to the final game this year before he got an injury. You just feel bad for a guy like that. He meant a lot to the team, and, well, you know, it was into the first half against Brookings, final regular season game. He goes out, but I was a kid, and, well, like I said, he moved from tight end to fullback. And kind of an atypical fullback at 6'5".
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know exactly how that was going to work. He knew he had looked at the roster earlier and knew Will Gross could play tight end, and he knew that we had some young kids that could be backups, and knew that we needed some kids at the fullback spot, some leadership there. And so he had asked if he could jump there, and we thought we'd give it a go. And he was just such a physical runner on offense and a presence on defense. I mean, he really helped out.
And then final senior on the list, Isaac Carr, wide receiver, cornerback. He was a two-year starter. You just left him out there at that corner spot for 2 years, then did get some wide receiver time this year as well.
Yeah, definitely. And Ike was definitely reliable in what we had him do. You know, he, like you said, he started 2 years at that corner spot, which was huge for us. It allowed us to just let him play, and allowed us to do some different things with him, because he was just so knowledgeable of what was going on.
You know, yeah, I was just going to say he might have been one of your more cerebral players out there. He knew how to play the position. I go back to a mistake he made, but it actually made sense. I can't remember which home game it was, but I remember he bit on a pump and go, and then he knew enough, well, I can't get up to him. I'm going to grab him and just take the pass interference penalty. You know, not everybody would do that. Some would think, well, I'm just going to catch up to him.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely a smart player. You know, he was a fun player to have around, very quiet, but once you kind of get to work with him and get to know him a little bit, he's a great kid to be around.
So that's your set of seniors here for this year's team. As always, you know, it happens every year. You're going to lose a bunch of seniors, and these kids all gave a ton of time to the program.
Yeah, definitely, and that's a big thing. You know, we look at kind of what they give to the program each year and how they leave it and how things go. You know, getting to think about different classes from years to years. You know, one thing that kind of always stands out, you know, some of the kids that go on and do different things. You know, we had some kids last year go out and play football. 2 years ago, you know, Bailey's playing for the University of Minnesota, which, you know, kids coming from here on don't get to see that they get to go play D1 football if they have a dream and stick with it. And, you know, Bailey's on special teams right now. So any kid from here can definitely set high goals and obtain those goals.
And then finally, just to wrap it up here, as you look forward, I know you already have been crunching the gears a little bit. What can we do next year? What does our personnel do? And that's the beauty with being a high school football coach. You might have a system, but you also got to look at your roster saying, you know what, I think this will work better. You know, that's where the veer came into being last year.
Yeah, definitely, especially with being so flexible. You know, we can do the veer, or we can kind of change things up and to really, I usually take about a week off before I start back in for next year, watching film from this year and tinkering with what we're going to do next year and how we're going to do it and maybe personnel that we're going to have. And, you know, it doesn't really ever stop, I guess, but it physically stops. But, you know, the rest of the season is still figuring out how we can do everything we can for the kids that we have.
Michael Schmitz, head coach of the Huron Tiger football team, as we do the wrap-up here. Tigers finished the season at 3-7. We're going to switch it back to volleyball, talk a little more Sweet 16. That's next here on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy Furniture and the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
Stop in for a free insurance review at Pearson Anderson Insurance, handling insurance needs for auto, home, farm, business, and life. It only makes good sense for you to call Farmers Union Insurance Agent Pearson Anderson in Huron. Pearson Anderson offers the benefit of a company doing business in rural America for over 50 years that stand by the slogan, Insuring a Brighter Tomorrow. Give them a call today.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Good morning. We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we'll wrap up the show, and we're going to talk some Sweet 16. Again, the Sweet 16 is coming in for AA volleyball, girls basketball, and boys basketball. Districts and regions are no more, and simply put, at the end of the season, the top 16 teams in AA will be seeded out and play a one-game match or game in order to get to the state. The number 17 and 18 seeded teams will not qualify for the postseason. The Sweet 16 have been talked about for several years, was voted in this past spring. And I talked to our volleyball coaches as we played them on the Huron Tiger schedule during the course of the season to see what their views were on it. We'll start off with Daisha Bourne, second-year coach at Brandon Valley. She said she and her school district were happy to see the change.
Yeah, I remember when I took the job here at Brandon, that was one of the things my athletic director, Mr. Marceau, had asked me about, that was kind of in the works or what my opinion was of it, and I think it's a wonderful idea, because when you look at the state tournament, you know, you want the best of the best, and I think whether you're West River or you're East River, you should be able or have that opportunity to compete and represent the state of South Dakota with the best teams at the time at the end of the postseason. So I think it'll be a really good thing for the state.
Veteran coach Julie Colbeck, who has been the head coach of Sioux Falls O'Gorman for several years, says it definitely changes your mindset during the season and heading into the postseason.
It's a different look, and, you know, obviously it's still, you have to win to get in, and you know, that can be a scary thing, one and done, and So I think it looks different, but I don't think coaches necessarily feel as though it's easier. I mean, you know, sometimes where you end up is huge. And we're playing a lot of tournaments this year, so that can either work to our advantage or a disadvantage in the end. And, you know, you got to win and you got to be playing well at the end of the season, and that's all there is to it.
Harrisburg coach Renette Costain, the defending champions in AA, says it's really nothing unusual for her anyway. Remember, not that long ago, they were in Class A, and pretty much Sweet 16 follows the format that Harrisburg played while they were a member of Class A.
It's a big change. Last year, I wouldn't have liked it about playoff time, but but when you go in knowing, then it's just a different mentality, and that's what we were when we were in the A. It was one and done. If you lost, that was it. So that was a transition for us. We went to AA to actually figure out that, we're not done, and to explain that to our crowd and our fans. So I don't think it's such a big change for Harrisburg.
But as far as Harrisburg, Coach Costain did make the statement there that we're glad it wasn't there last year. Last year, they had the top seed in AA and actually lost their first-round match against Sioux Falls Lincoln, but had that second chance to come back through and, of course, ultimately won the state title. Tiffany Bestie, former Watertown coach and now has been head coach at Yankton the past 4 years, says she's in favor of the change. Yankton has a little different perspective on it. They've been in District 2, and since Harrisburg moved to AA, District 2 has been a five-team district, meaning number 4, number 5 have a play-in game, which is basically one game to keep the season alive, and she didn't feel it was fair to be in that five-team district.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm happy with the change. I feel like this year, even though we're not in the position that we want to be among the 16 teams, there's room for continuous growth, where in past years, you know, you wanted to come out right away and win matches right away because we always had that play-in game, you know, right in our faces every single year. So at least I feel like this year we're on the same page as everybody else's. Everybody's got one night where they get to come out and play well. And, you know, if we did that and came out and played well in one game, we still had three more games that we had to play after that to get into the state tournament. So I'm excited just to see something a little different, something that will hopefully your geographic location won't determine the outcome of the state tournament. And I just want to see the best 8 teams there. Ultimately, I think that's what everybody wants, is the best 8 teams to be in the state tournament. And hopefully this format will help do that.
Meanwhile, talking to the District 3 coaches, the teams that Huron played year in and year out to get to the state tournament, that would be Mitchell, Pierre, and Aberdeen. Three of the four coaches actually made a mention of how difficult District 3 has been most years and see the Sweet 16 as a nice little respite from that. Deb Thill, who has been coach for nearly 30 years, and Mitchell says that it's just another change, and she's seen several changes in how to get to the state tournament.
I've been around the game 28 years, and so it's changed in the last 28 years how you qualify too. Used to be if you got first or second, you got to go to a state, and then at first, then they went to regions. And I do think though that the reasoning should not be the same as it is for A and B volleyball, because in AA, 1 through 16 is tighter than it is in A and B volleyball, I think. I think on any given night in AA, anybody can be beat, anybody can win. But if that's the way it's going to go, that's the way it's going to go. I do know that our district has strong teams, and it has, you know, for 28 years. And so if you look at the records, you know, 6 teams with winning records in AA, and that shows you how tough AA is right there, and 3 of them are from our district.
Chris Swiden, in his 4th year as head coach of the Pierre Lady Govs, doesn't have too many issues, although he wants a few tweaks in there, and this was brought up by more than a couple of coaches. He wants to see some changes in the seating and also in the scheduling as we get into this.
Initial reaction is I feel like we have the hardest district in the state if you look at where our teams are seated across it, so it doesn't necessarily hurt my feelings getting away from Huron, Aberdeen, and Mitchell for making it to state. But, you know, the thing that I have questions on yet are going to be the seed points, and you have some teams that aren't playing a AA schedule that, you know, are getting some seed points from lower level that bring questions to my mind. But, you know, in the end, it's you got to win the games that you have in front of you, and it'll all play out.
Aberdeen coach Dennis Northrup says, hey, we'll just deal with it.
What else are you going to do? Just figure out where you're going to be, when you're going to play, and try to get to the state tournament with this new setup. You do lose that district rivalry, that you games that you play. You also are going to see a whole new set of possibilities when you come to your district and your region. So it's new. We'll see if it's improved or not, I guess.
Brookings Bobcat head coach Jody Melius was definitely in favor of the change. She felt that it was unfair, just some of the schools that her team had to go through. Brookings has not qualified for the state volleyball tournament in over 10 years, and she says this is a good change for the state and for the sport.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's the fair way to do it. I think it's a simplified way to do it. And so I think it's really interesting, too, right now, the way the standings sit. How many people really will be playing old district opponents, in that Sweet 16 match? But, I'm in favor of the simplified format for sure.
Rosemary Hertz is the head coach of the Watertown Arrows. She's in her first year as head coach, but has been on the Watertown staff for over 10 years. Also was a player for the Arrows as well, so she's seen the ebb and flow of how the volleyball postseason works. And just like pretty much everybody else, especially on the I-29 corridor, Hertz says it's a good move for the state.
I really think that, you know, it matters how your record is, and every game matters, and every win is important, or every loss is important, and so this really ranks our entire state 1 through 18 in a, for the most part, a pretty fair way, and you play, it's a play-in game, and the top 8 teams get to go.
And finally, here on Tiger Coach Shelley Budenhagen, kind of fell in line with some of the other District 3 coaches, saying District 3 is always tough. Her big issue is she feels the system was rushed to be put in.
Well, you know, the Sweet 16, you know, I think has a lot of merit for a lot of different schools. I think for our district, our district was tough. And the Sioux Falls districts and, you know, the East River, they were all a little... they were for this big time. And I guess I stood with, you know, whatever we were being told, let's go ahead and do. I think there are a few kinks that could have and should have been worked out maybe before we rushed into it a little bit. And I don't want to, you know, point fingers as to what I believe, but I think with our ESD schedule, let us finish that out before we started the Sweet 16. That was one of them. And I think there's some things that with the way we count points, needs to be ironed out too. I don't know if a 2 out of 3 match should be the same as a 3 out of 5 match. I don't know yet. But you know, it is what it is. The rivalries are definitely gone. You could feel that there wasn't as much pressure and much intensity when you play Mitchell or Aberdeen or Pierre, and I kind of miss that a little bit. But I think as we play this around, we'll find some other rivalries. But yeah, now we're starting to look and go, okay, we're going to have to go down into Sioux Falls now and watch the Sioux Falls matches, and hopefully we'll be able to pick up 2 or 3 of those matches and get a good feel for how they play in their gyms and so forth. We just don't have that advantage, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm feeling like we rushed into this, is that we don't get to go down to Sioux Falls and play. We don't. We haven't stepped in the Sioux Falls Lincoln gym for a very long time, or the Sioux Falls Washington gym. I can't remember the last time I went down to Sioux Falls Roosevelt to play. And so with the scheduling, I think we've got some things to figure out. But, you know, until you jump in, you don't know what you have to fix or if there's even any problem.
So again, some of the comments from different volleyball coaches in AA about the switch to the Sweet 16 format here, because, you know, we aren't that too far away from getting set for the postseason. The one thing that surprised me, perhaps as much as anything, really nobody so far has just come on and said, I hate it, I think we should be back playing the districts and regions. Nobody was really against it. Now I'm out in Rapid City this weekend. I imagine when I talk to Rapid City Central's coach this afternoon, I'm going to hear a little different opinion on that, as the Black Hills area schools in particular were definitely against bringing in the Sweet 16. But really, for the most part, really not a negative there. Obviously, a few different things that coaches wish we would have went with in bringing in the system, but nobody really against the concept of the Sweet 16. But we'll see how it rolls out here, and then in the winter for girls and boys basketball as well. That wraps up this edition of Dakota Sports Saturday. Dakota Sports Saturday brought to you by Pearson Anderson, Farmers Union Insurance, Slumberland Furniture, and the Nordby Center for Recreation. Mike Hendrickson and the Sports Max is coming up shortly. Up next will be Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Monty James for the Territorial Rodeo Update's Top 5 Countdown. We're in that never-ending holding pattern between the end of the regular rodeo season, which ended September 30th, and the start of the 2017 National Finals Rodeo, which starts December 7th. See our dilemma? Standings are frozen. Or are they? We'll take a look at a fresh batch of standings right after this word from Mike Young and his crew at legendary Young's Western Wear, Valentine, Nebraska.
Pointy-toed, hairy-legged cowboys and you fancy dancing cowgirls from Wyoming to Iowa. Saddle your old broomtail and ride to America's Best Western Store, Young's Western Wear, Valentine, Nebraska. Horse lame? Give him a rest and log on to discountwesternwear.com. Even you old-timers were wearing three-cornered pants when Young's opened their doors, and now, three generations later, they're still the leading purveyor of all things for the hoss and his boss, Young's Western Wear, Valentine, Nebraska.
From PRCA World Headquarters, CO Springs, CO, we offer a batch of freshly brewed PRCA standings for the 2018 rodeo season. Raza, lock it down, and let's get it on. National High School champ Shane O'Connell, Rapid City Sodak, who barely missed the big show this year, is number one in 2018. Texans Billy Tudor and Jake Brown go 2-3. Nevada's Grant Denny, number four. And North Dakota NFR hand Ty Brewer kicking back fifth. Brewer Dogan. Riley Duvall of, you guessed it, Chakota, Oklahoma, top dogger. Curtis Cassidy of Alberta, number two. Callie Hands, Bill Bugnig, and Riley Smith, 3-4. Here's a future NFR star, Jace Melvin of Fort Pierce, South Dakota, rolling fifth. Team Roping Headers, Clay Smith of Oklahoma, number one. Then Lane Ivy of Texas. Logan Olson of Flandreau, South Dakota, third. Snow and Brunson go 4-5. Trust me, you don't know them. On the heel side of the beast, Kansanite Buddy Hawkins, a second, number one in 2018. Eves of Missouri, second. Matt Kasner of Cody, Nebraska, third. Followed by Medlin and, you don't care.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Saddle Bronc Riding, Cheyenne, Wyoming, champion Brody Kress, head cheese. Sterling Crawley of Texas, number two. Leon Fountain in New Mexico, three spot. Jacob Scrawley chilling fourth. And Wyoming's Chesta Johnson, guns ablazing, fifth.
He'll be coming by here just any moment now. I can feel it in my bones.
All right, tie down roping, Texan Marcos Costa on top. Then Ryan Jarrett, Riley Smith, Paul David Tierney of Oral, South Dakota, fourth. Cody Quaney of Cheney, Kansas, fifth. Barrel racing, Can Chasen, Texas Lasses, Kelly Bruder, Tacey Bettis, and Tristan Mize go 1-2-3. Nikki Hansen in North Dakota rolling fourth. Carly Richardson of Pampa, you guessed it, Texas, turns and burns in the five hole. Toro Twistin', Sage Kimsey, Strong Oklahoma is the man. Clay Sellers of Fruitland Park, Florida, number two. Texan Tristan Mize, third. Jose Vasquez in New Mexico, five spot. My old buddy Jeff Burtis of Avon Sodak, hold up eighth. Come on now. Big thanks to DiscountWesternWear.com. Producer Mitch Gallant, office manager Shanna Platt, and the Air Force at this great American radio station. Monty James on the rodeo trail for the TFC.
The Simplicity Courier combines the nimbleness of a zero-turn mower with the convenience of a utility vehicle. Its integrated rear cargo bed lets you haul flowers, tools, firewood, and much more. Available at Premier Equipment, the Courier is also packed with commercial-inspired features like a welded commercial-style frame and fabricated mower deck option.